Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
It's wonderful to be here with you today. Thank you for allowing me to come back and share this Sunday with you in worship. Well, there's a pastor I know that, and she's a pastor of prayer. And you could hear her heart for the Lord in each prayer she prayed. She started her prayer with how grateful she was for God's gracious act of love, kindness, and blessing. She would thank Him for what He had done and the knowledge found in Him. She would praise Him about His character and His heart for His children. She would express that our hope is in Him and how He gave His only Son to die for us, making a way for us to come to Him and be reconciled. And that now we are able to do what we could never do before, know Him better, serve Him better, and love Him better in a world that doesn't want to know Him. It didn't matter if she knew you. She didn't need to meet you. She knew the Lord and believed that He who began a good work in you will see it to completion in Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6. I learned so much about Jesus from her through Nancy's prayer. I was encouraged to continually seek Him. Nancy knew that the power was not in her words, but humbly knew that they were in God. And she would pray so that anyone who heard her would know that truth. See, the Apostle Paul and Nancy had a lot in common. You know, their prayers were so purposeful. They prayed for God to act, and they prayed for people to respond. And we're going to read a scripture today, which is Colossians 1, 1 through 14. If you'd like to join me as we look at the words of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ in Colossae, grace and peace to you from the God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel, that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing amongst you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who has also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience in joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord. Well, Paul had heard about the Colossians from Epaphras, who is now with Paul in Rome. And he had told them that the Colossians believed the gospel when they were told. They had faith. He also told them that he loved the saints and he loved God. And he also told them that they lived in the hope of eternity. And because Paul had heard this, he knew that they were believers, and he knew he could now pray this prayer, because this prayer can only go to believers. He prayed this prayer, helping them understand the true power provided by God when we believe. And Paul did not just pray this once, but Paul continues to pray this. He was asking God to fill them with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So let's find out what he was actually praying for. The Greek word for filling that he speaks about at this time is a passive verb. It's a verb that means that the filling is ongoing, that it already started. And God's action has already happened, and it's an action that only God could do. And Paul is asking that the filling of the Colossians would continue without end. And he wanted them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And that seems so broad, but what he's asking is that they understand the knowledge of God's whole saving purpose in Christ, to know what God desires for us and of us. The knowledge of God himself, the gospel. And it's a knowledge that would change lives. It's a knowledge that produces holiness. And it's a knowledge that results in thanksgiving. How do we receive this? In what Paul says is that you receive it through the spiritual wisdom and understanding. And so what is he really talking about when how do you receive this knowledge? And he's not talking about this worldly wisdom where there is a mental excellence based on different worldly foundations, not based on culture, what culture says, as take care of yourselves, not with ourselves being king of our lives. In Psalms 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it's having reverence for God. See, spiritual wisdom is when a man or woman is taking his proper place humbly unto God. It's always knowing that God is creator and we are creation in need of God for all things. See, God creates, he provides, he restores, he redeems, and he renews. So without spiritual wisdom, we can't have this knowledge. And then he says, but we're also supposed to have this spiritual understanding. And what he's saying here is that he wants us to think coherently and practically about God and his purpose for his people. So when we're dealing with things in our lives, the question to ask is, in light of my knowledge of God and his purposes, how should I or we interpret the situation? So trying to understand God's will in this passage, three things need to be available to us. We need to know God's saving purpose in Christ through the truth. We need to know and live humbly in a position of humility under God. And we need to think coherently and practically about God and his purposes for his people. Now, Paul prays for this so that the Colossians can live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him. And when that happens, when we have a life worthy of God, we can't do it unless we have knowledge. So when Paul knows that when we have the knowledge of God's will, we can live a life worthy of God. And if we live a life worthy of God, we can increase our knowledge of God's will. And as we increase our knowledge of God's will, we can now live a holier life, a life pleasing to him. It's a circle. It is based on the one to grow the other. And knowing God's will fuels holiness. And that's what we see. We become a holy people. But you know, this power is given right at conversion. If we think to the day that we had conversion, that we understood what Christ had done for us, when we had that inner joy, that overwhelming passion and power for who he is, understanding who we were, and we delighted. We had all these things we're going to talk about at that moment. And that's when God filled us. He filled us at that moment. He provided everything that we could have in our innocence, in our very minimal understanding. And so so this is an opportunity right from the time we start to know him. And you know, the problem is that we have to wish to live a life worthy of God. There's an action that takes place from us. And we have to make that choice. And we have to apply what God is bringing to us using the spiritual wisdom and understanding, allowing us to grow, and say we want to live within this realm. We have to make that decision. You know, a lot of us get stuck at this point. A lot of us decide we're still going to keep ourselves on the throne. We kind of know what God has to offer because he filled us. He showed us. But yet, we still want to go our way. And what happens with that is we start kind of molding the gospel to fit us. We make it that it's just about salvation, and I don't need to go to church, and I don't need... And no, your salvation isn't based on all those things, but it's about a relationship, an amazing relationship with our God that he wants to share with us and move us closer and closer to him. And at the conversion, God provided all of us with the saving purpose of Jesus. And in that moment, we can see God's blessing that would come with that. If we chose... And if we choose to live a life worthy of God, there are things that come to us. We saw them when we had conversion, but then where we walk determines if we still see them anymore, see if we still participate in them. And one of them is when there is fruit from holy living. When there's fruit from holy living, there's things that you will see. You will see people will come to know and love, follow Jesus. God will be praised and glorified. He will be known. And people will see a difference in you and a desire for that peace. In Titus 3:8, it tells us, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works." And also in Ephesians, it tells us in 2:10, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." But there's something else that we receive when we have a life worthy of God. And that is we grow in the knowledge of God himself. We build that relationship. We get excited in our soul when we spend time in prayer with him, when we share him. There's an excitement that happens when we go and be with him. And God then responds by having us walk in different ways of faith. We learn to trust him more and more with the struggles that we go through. We learn that we can serve him faithfully, even if we don't understand. And we have this inner desire to know him better. The next thing that Paul says to the Colossians is that we will have his power to endure and have patience through trials and tribulations while we're here. Trials through any situation. My mom came to Christ late in life. She was probably, well, I was out of the house, so she was probably probably in her mid-40s. At 38, she found out that she had MS, and it was a slow-moving MS, so it was something that probably wouldn't take her life, but it would be something she would have to deal with all during her life. And her life before Christ was a life of worry, a life of being uncertain about things, a life of always feeling overwhelmed, looking anywhere to find direction. My mom had 6 kids in 7 years, so you know part of that's there. But she just didn't have her compass. She didn't know where she was going or what was happening. And when she found out she had MS, she was dealing with that within that realm of confusion. And then she came to Christ. And she came to Christ, and I could just see a peace over mom, a pleasantness that was never there before. And, you know, she was always intense about what's next. And it was now, come and have a seat. You know, and she, at that time, she started calling me a name, and I can't even think of what the name was right now, but she even started having such an amazing heart beyond herself. She always loved her children, don't get me wrong, but there was this heart that we could see. Well, time had passed, and Mom ended up in a wheelchair, and then she found out she had uterine cancer, and went through chemo and radiation with a heart of, you know, God's in charge. Let me love the people around me. Very, very committed to believe in that God, she would trust in God. It was so much so that she didn't want to stay in the hospital, and since she was in a wheelchair, she always had to go into the hospital to have these things done because she couldn't walk. So she hated being in the hospital, so she decided that she would go back and forth, but she wanted to stay at this nursing home that she loved. And the reason she wanted to be there is because she had made so many relationships with the people around her. Everybody wanted to come and take care of Carol Ellery. You know, my mother, in so much pain because of the cancer, because of the neuropathic situation of her MS, she would always smile for them. She would always be excited to see them. She'd be asking, hey, what's going on in your life? There was such a peace within the process, within the struggle. And don't get me wrong, my mother really struggled at different times through this. Well, after a while, she had her chemo and such, and had a test, and the cancer was back. And it had metastasized to her spine and brain. And I was the person to tell her that there was nothing more the doctors could do. That man could not heal, but God could. And so each day she lived with such endurance, with such patience for those doctors to come in and such. And when I told her, her response to me was, Cheryl, I'm in the Lord's hands. I'm in the Lord's hands. And I don't believe that was of my mom, because I saw my mom. I saw my mom before Christ. I saw her go through the struggles of everyday life. Here she is in an unbelievable situation, but she can endure any situation. And she can also deal with any person, anybody that came in, whether they were grumpy or not. She would handle them with such delight. That is the power of God, moving us to be able to deal with things in life, regardless of the situation and regardless of what person we're trying to work with. And you know, one of the most wonderful things I feel is that joy that overflows, that joy that just jumps within us, and that we can't do anything except thank the Lord for loving us and sending his son. That gratefulness that is present when we see the beauty of a flower, when we see the baby's hands, when just the amazing person of God within our world. And we can, the thing is we can be looking always to the bad, but we have to remember, Jesus is on the throne. God is on the throne. There's nothing he says, oh my gosh, that happened? He's not thinking that. He knows that that will happen. And through that, so many other people will find him in the end. Does he want it to happen? No. But he has a greater plan that all of us are going to witness someday. And it's going to be a joy. And it's going to be amazing. Paul wants to remind the Colossians of why they should live this life, and why they should understand the benefits of this life, and why they want to know about God. And some of those things were that they are thankful, they should be thankful because they did hear and receive the gospel. That blessing alone is the greatest gift we can ever receive. And now we are set apart to do things that we could never do on our own, to handle things in ways that we could never done on our own, because he's behind it with his power, not our simple power. And we are God's children, that we have a new inheritance, that we are not just going to see death, that we are going to have life forever. We have been delivered from sin's tyranny, delivered from death, and given the new covenant of God. We have been redeemed through his son, Jesus, by the blood of the sacrifice. How amazing our God is. How amazing he is. Through this prayer, Paul helped the Christians at Colossae understand that so much has happened to them and for them, at their and following their conversion. This has all been a process. That's why that verb started with filling. It started at the very beginning, that God provides everything we need to live a life worthy for Him. I would like to pray the same prayer that Paul prayed over the Colossian church to you right now. Hear the prayer. Dear Lord, will you fill this church with the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding? And I pray that they will live a life worthy of you and may please you, Lord, in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of you, Lord, being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, so that they may have great endurance, Lord, and patience, and joyfully give thanks to you, who has qualified them to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For you have rescued them from the dominion of darkness and brought them into the kingdom of your Son that you love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Lord, please strengthen them and keep them close to your side. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. May God bless you as you serve him today.